I love you this morning. I appreciate you. I really do. And I get excited about going to church, and I get excited about people coming to church. And I like church. It's not just part of my life. It's all of my life. And that's not just because I'm the preacher. Church is it. And when you start thinking about the things that are in our life and ask yourself the question, will they mean something for time and eternity? And Matthew and I and Caleb, we went to a high school football game Friday night. And I like football, and I like to watch them guys. I like to watch them play and run into each other and bust helmets and everything. I mean, I like that. And it's fun to go to, and it's kind of relaxing a little bit, but it's not eternity. And I like to watch sports, and my wife likes to go shopping. There's nothing wrong with that. So we went shopping last night, and that was all well and good, but it's not eternity. I had a kind of a bad experience at Taco Bell last night. I thought you'd say, aw. Yeah. it's one of these Taco Bells with a Pizza Hut in it. And I ordered the little pizza with the breadsticks and the drink. And lo and behold, they brought Lisa's out. They brought Courtney's out. They brought Matthew's out and Caleb's out. And here I'm sitting there all by myself. No. And they said, we'll bring it out to you. Well, Lisa watched them. They bagged it up and took it out to somebody that was waiting in drive-thru. Took my pizza out there. And I was a little upset about that. I mean, I didn't throw a fit at them. I just kind of said, hey, can we help you? And I said, yeah, I'm really hungry. Could I have something to eat? Oh, what would you like? I said, I already ordered it, and you took it outside. Oh, man, we're sorry about that. And then when I got it, it wasn't good. I mean, it just didn't taste good. And but that's not eternity. Amen? It's not eternity. But church and Bible reading, Bible learning and preaching and prayer, those things are eternal. And they'll get us to where we really, really want to be. And I often ask this morning. I'm going to put this little deal right here. Keep it right handy. I often ask people, where do you want to be in eternity? Where do you want to go? What do you really want? What do you want to see? And I know that nobody here in this building wants to die and go to hell. Let me hear you say amen. I don't want to die and go to hell. But also in this life, there are some things that I want to be good in this life. And there's nothing wrong with that. God did not call us and to save us, to give us a very bad, hateful, mean, rough life all the days of our life. He did not call us to do that. And I know that every now and then we are appointed to tribulation, and that's all well and good, and that's the work of God. But I'm here to tell you that Christianity is more than just eternity, although eternity is good enough. Amen? God said, I came to give you life, that's eternal life, and I came to give you more abundantly. And I believe that there are things that we would really like to see out of life that we haven't seen yet, some happiness that we'd like to attain to or whatever it is. And I've been trying to preach through the book of Romans, and I don't know when God's going to put a stop to that. I don't know when he is. But I've been kind of reading Romans chapter 6 this week and been studying it and just kind of going back over it. And it was about 9:30 last night when God just really put this message in me. And I really hope that I can preach it the way God delivered it to me last night. I mean, I really got happy over this thing. And I just bowed my head and I said, God, thank you very much for this message. And this may not be for anybody but me, but it's a good message. And I want us to keep our mind on it. So anyway, let's read the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is part of the Romans Road of Salvation. If you'll notice there in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in reading that, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to ask you a big question. And that question is, are you saved? And I don't mean, are you religious? And I don't mean, do you think happy thoughts every now and then? I'm asking you this morning, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt right now that if you were to die right now, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you would be in heaven? That's the most important question that could be asked is, are you saved and are you going to go to heaven when you die? And if you don't have the answer to that question, or the answer is not yes in your soul, then I want to tell you something, that you are going to die and you are going to go to hell, because that is the wages of sin. I need somebody to say amen to that. Who in here deserves hell? Raise your hand. Okay. But the gift of God is what you don't deserve, but it's a gift. And He gives that to you because He loves you. He cares about you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you're an axe murderer sitting here. Amen. Just kind of makes people nervous if you are. But anyway, I don't care if you're the worst of the worst, or you think yourself the worst of the worst. God has a gift for you, and that's called eternal life through Jesus. It's not through Allah. It's not what the Bible says. It is not through Buddhism or transcendental meditation or works or paying money to the church or taking communion. It's not anything about that. It is through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And that is the message. And I just like Romans for that very reason. Romans explains to you how man can go from death to life. And I want you to think about that as we preach this morning. But anyway, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, you have your Bible there. Say amen. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been, now verse 5, I want you to look at it. I want you to look up here now. Oh, I lost it. And you know where it is? It's stuck right down here in this little wedge between the communion table and the stage. And if I move the communion table to get it, I'll lose it. Anyway, I just planted the seed. Okay? I'll tell you what. God, you're in charge now. Okay? You're in charge. Okay? But I want you to think about that seed. It's little bitty. It's mustard seed. All right? You can't see it. Anyway, look at verse 5. For if we have been, what? What's that word there? Planted. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man... Remember from last Sunday morning, you remember the message about the old man. Who remembers that? Say amen. A couple of you do. That's good. For knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I tell you, there's a lot of things I should preach on this morning. And I want to tell you something. If you're still lost, you're not in charge of your life, by the way. You think you're doing your own thing and living your own life, but I'm here to tell you, if you're lost, you're lost, and you're not the servant of yourself, you're the servant of sin. You couldn't turn down sin if you wanted to, because it commands you. Okay? That's one of the ways how you know you're saved, is that you now have the ability to say, no, I'm not doing it. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not, verse 12, now look at this now, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. If you cannot say no to sin, then I would suggest to you that you get right with God, and He'll put a spirit in you that says, no way, I'm not doing it. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness
unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Somebody say amen. For verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit, I want you to think about that, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now read this verse with me out loud. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want us to bow our heads this morning and pray. And pray for the message. And pray that God would move in your heart. That's what I really want more than anything, is I want God to move in your heart. And I want God to help you and encourage you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help. I need your help to preach. I need your help, dear God, to concentrate and to think about, Lord, what needs to be said. And Father, Lord, for that message that you put into my heart last night, Lord, it was so rich. And Lord, it was so tender, dear God, and it was so right. And Lord, I don't think, Lord, I can deliver it to these people the way that you did to me last night. So Father, Lord, I need your word to work with your spirit as a double witness in these people's lives this morning, to bear witness, Lord, of the truthfulness of what your word says this morning. God, I'm asking for your help. And Father, Lord, I believe, dear God, Lord, that you'll help me, that you'll help these people this morning. And Father, Lord, that your will would be done in their lives. Father, Lord, bless my best effort or my worst one, God, but I'm asking you, dear God, to bless this message, Father. Help me to preach it, dear God. Help me to deliver it, Lord, in such a way as would be pleasing and honoring to you. And Father, Lord, let people think nothing of me, but everything, Lord, of you and your word this morning. I ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, I'm going to do something real quick. I mean, I really want this seed here. Do what? Come here, Caleb. Come here and help me out here. I'm going to move this desk here real quick, and then see that seed right there?
Yeah, I can get that.
You can get that? Well, I'm going to have to drop it. Here we go. Oh, no. Forget it. We've lost it. There's all kinds of junk back in. I mean, flowers and everything. Oh, you know what? Here it is. Here it is, Caleb. Right there. Right there. Come here. Reach down there and get that thing. It's right down in there. Stick your head down in there. Trust me. All right. Hey, thank you, buddy. And we're going to put it in here where it won't get lost. You say, Mike, why are you trying to rescue that thing? It's popcorn. Yeah. Why throw away food? Amen. Yeah. I want you to think about this seed up here for a minute. And I didn't tell you what, I didn't know how to preach this thing the way God gave it to me last night. I'm just going to go back to the beginning of Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And I want us to look at what the Bible says. And I'm just going to try to preach the Bible and try to give you this the way God gave it to me. All right. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Paul would have made a good lawyer because he's always good at making a summation of ideas. He's laid out five chapters already of ideas about how we are and about how sinful we are and all this and that and the other.
And he talks about, in we preached last Sunday, about the difference between the old man and the new man. And the new man represents what is good in us, that it's in Christ Jesus, and how it's a blessing to people, and that how there's more grace than there is sin in this world. Can I get an amen out of somebody this morning? There's more grace in God. God, who is rich in mercy and grace. These TV preachers want to tell you about how rich God is, as if God is all about silver and gold. But you can keep all the silver and gold that you have and just give me forgiveness of sins, and I'm a rich man. I want to hear somebody say amen to that. But anyway, now he says, and here's our problem. Because I'm going to preach this message to two groups of people. Number one, I'm going to preach it to lost people this morning. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, I want you to listen to this. If you're lost, you're already dead. This seed right here, up here, that I have in this bag that I'm not going to drop anymore, hopefully. This seed is dead. It is absolutely worthless. It is no good the way it is right now. Okay? This came out of a bag of popcorn. Okay? And when I got this message last night, I jumped up and I said, "Lisa, do we have any popcorn?" She said, "Well, there's bags of it in there. You put in a microwave." And you know how you microwave a bag of popcorn? Usually there's about 10 or 20 kernels in there that didn't pop. There was one in this bag. I think it's a record. Guinness ought to know about this, okay? But there was one deal in here, and I pulled that thing out of there. Now, have you ever eaten a bag or a bowl of popcorn and bit into one of these things? I'll tell you what, it's not, you just go, boom, get that out of your mouth. Or the husk of it will lay inside this little tooth right here, and you deal with that for about 3 days till you get it out. But anyway, this seed, the way it is right now, don't you listen to this now, the way this seed is right now represents it's worthless and it's dead. It has no use in it whatsoever. It's good for nothing. Now I want you to think about that. Because he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now I'm going to preach to the church people just for a minute. Your preacher preaches a lot on grace. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy, and I believe in forgiveness. I believe that if you'll repent, God will forgive your sins. Can I hear somebody say amen? That if you'll call upon God in truthfulness out of your heart, God will have mercy on you and he'll forgive you of your sin. But I want to tell you something. Every now and then, we need to preach on justice and we need to preach on obedience, because we are very disobedient people. And I'm not saying that to get an amen out of you. And I don't mind the amens, but I'm telling you, we are disobedient people. We are disobedient to the Word of God. If we were to make a list of 10 things. If we were to make a list of 10 things that we ought to be doing as New Testament Christians and write them down and then make another list of things that we are doing, I guarantee you, list B would not be as long as list A. We are disobedient. We are unrighteous. In fact, we're often self-righteous. We have sin in us. And every now and then, and you can say what you want to, but we do use grace as a license to sin. We use it that way. The same way that we use our own will as a license to speed on the highway, we justify ourselves in doing what we're doing or saying that it's okay. When we go out and get on the highway and we speed, we say, "Well, I'm in a hurry," or "I'm going to be late," or "This and this has to be done," or somebody was slow and I need to make up time. We justify it however we want to, but the truth of it is we broke the law. And it's the same way in our church. We break God's commandments. We break God's laws. We tell ourselves, "Well, I'll do it, and then God's going to forgive me, and then it'll be okay." And the first thing out of Paul's mouth in this chapter is, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And I think every now and then we get this idea in our head that, "Oh, God's just going to exhibit his grace in my life." And then we just go out and do some kind of stupid stuff. And we continue in the same sinfulness that we ask God to save us out of. And it's not right. I'm telling you, it's not right. And it seems to be and I don't know how it is in any other country, but I know how it is in America. We seem to have this idea in the American church. I think it's our prosperity. I think it's our way of life that has brought us this way. I think it's probably a combination of a lot of things.
But we seem to think that we can be saved and yet live however we want to live. And that's not what this Bible says. And that's not what this chapter says right here. You cannot sin and think that grace is going to abound. You cannot. You know what that is? That's tempting God. And one of the ways that the devil tried to tempt Christ, he tried to get him to tempt God. He said, the Bible said in Psalm 91, he said, Jesus, if you'll just fall down off this cliff, the angels will come bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And I'm here to tell you right now, when you start using this free grace that God has given you, and the blood that has been shed for your sins, when you start using that as a license to live however you want to, do what you want to, you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you what you got. All you got is just a worthless nothing. Is what you've got. That's what your sin represents. This is what is the representation of the sins that you're still trying to hold on to, the habits that you're still trying to hang on to, the things that you say, well, God will wink at this, or God will forgive me for this, or this is going to get God's grace. I don't care how you justify it. If you're doing it, it's wrong. Whether it's sins of commission or sins of omission. You know what sins of commission are? That's, you know, lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And that's lust of the eyes and pride of life. Those are sins of commission. Things that we do that are wrong. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there are things that we don't do that are still just as wrong. Let me say that again. I'm here to tell you that there are things that we don't do that are still just as wrong. When you don't pray, that's wrong. When you don't read your Bible, that's wrong. When you willfully remove yourself from attendance of the house of God, that's wrong. When somebody is pleading to you in their life and in their actions for you to tell them the good news of the gospel and you don't do it, that's wrong. And there are things that we're not doing that we ought to be sorry for that we didn't do them. Is that an amen or is that a... I mean, I can't tell this morning. But I'm here to tell you, we justify our sinfulness by saying, God will forgive me. And it's almost like we're backing God up against a wall and forcing Him to honor His word in our life. And that is called tempting the Lord our God. And God said, don't do it. Now, let's get back to the scripture. And you really pray for me this morning, because I'm telling you, I don't know. Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I want to ask you a question. I want you to think just for a minute this morning about your life. I want you to think about your lifestyle. Think about the things that you're doing. Think about the things that just are part of your life right now. And I want you to ask the question, do I want things better? Do I want things better in my life? How many of you, and you have to raise your hand if you want, but you would like to have a situation in life where you had victory over sin? You could say amen, raise your hand, or nod your head, or just sit there. You would like victory over sin. Let's just say this morning that you have, and I don't know. Let's just say this morning that you have a problem with filthiness coming out of your mouth. I've known people that, I mean, they couldn't hardly talk to you without cursing. And they just cuss, and I mean, it just rolls out of their mouth. And I tell you, it's probably a byproduct of the world we live in right now. When I go to these football games with the boys there, and I'm around these kids here, these junior high school kids. And to hear them talk, it floors me to hear how these kids are talking. And I know that probably went on for years, but I'm just telling you, I'm telling you, there's probably church people that sit in our churches that have that same problem. Oh, they're not going to curse in church. But anywhere else they go, that's what they're doing. Or maybe
Maybe cursing's not it for you. Maybe you've got lust of the eyes. And everything that comes up on TV, billboards, people walking by, whatever it is. I mean, it's just a real issue with you. Maybe you just got lust in your flesh. Maybe you got a little bit of pride in you. Maybe there's a little bit of apathy in your life, a little bit of laziness in your life. It's all right here is what it is. The Bible talks about sin being a picture of leaven, like a little seed. And how much, let me ask you a question, how much of a little sin does it take in your life to do some really bad things in us? My mother struggled with cigarettes for a long time when she got saved. She struggled with some other things too, but I remember that she'd quit them for a while. And then some of the old gang would come back around. And when the old gang come back around, they was all puffing. And she had no ability to stay away from that during that time. And when she got around the old gang, that's what she'd do. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Are there people that you can't be around anymore because you want to be right with God? Anybody? Are there people that you can't really, you just can't get around them anymore. Are there places that you can't go anymore because you really want to be right with God? Now let me just kind of contrast this here for a little bit. Let me come down here. There's two kind of church people. There's a kind of church people that says amen to the grace, amen to the forgiveness, amen to all the things. But when church is over, they walk out and nobody tells them what to do and how to do things. They like sin. They want to hang on to their sin. And yet they like the religious feeling that comes with a church service of any kind. And it makes them feel justified that everything's going to be okay in their life. That person probably is not born again. A person that is born again has a new nature inside of them. Just like we talked about last Sunday, it's a new man that is inside of them. It's just busting to come out. That person doesn't want to be an adulterer anymore. That person doesn't want to be a fornicator anymore. That person doesn't want to be a drunkard anymore. That person doesn't want to be a liar anymore. That person doesn't want to be prideful anymore. That person doesn't want to be lazy against God anymore. That person doesn't want to read Harlequin romances. It wants to read the book of Psalms. That person doesn't want to get advice from worldly things. It wants to get advice from God. That person wants to pray, and that person wants to be in attendance in the house of God. Can I hear somebody say amen? Okay. Now, I don't know what, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's, but there's a struggle here. And I'm getting it, and I don't know what it is, okay? But I'm struggling with every sentence that's coming out of me, and I don't know why. I mean, I was feeling good today, still am, but I don't get it, okay? But I'm just saying to us, there's those two kinds of people. Now, if you're the kind of person that what you do here is the exact opposite of what you do out there, you're probably not saved. You're probably not right with God. Or at least you're in a backslid condition and you need to repent. Can I get somebody to say amen? Because I want to tell you something. We're running out of time in this world. I don't know if you knew that or not. We're running out of time. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't set dates. But I'm telling you, everything that comes along in this world tells me that we're one day closer to God pouring out a little bit of judgment on the United States of America. I don't know if he's going to do it in the rest of the world, but in this country, God's fixing to take care of business and mean it in this country. And we play games with God. And we turn our backs against God. And we do all kinds of things with God. But I think God right now is trying to be dead serious with some people that are sitting in some churches today. Would you agree with that? I think he really is. I think he's trying to be dead serious with some issues that are in our lives right now. Okay, now, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you would like to have a better life? Say amen. This is real simple. How many of you like to have a better marriage? Say amen. Or better, just a better situation where you're working. Or a better relationship. Or a better walk with God. Man, I need that. I need a better walk with God. I need to be more dedicated. I need to be more dedicated not only to this church and the ministry, but I find myself knowing that I need to be more dedicated to my wife and to my children and to my family. I need that. And usually what it is, there's something about this big that's holding us back. Some kind of sin. Some kind of pridefulness. Some kind of laziness. Some kind of apathy. Are you getting kind of where I'm going with this? I don't want to just, I mean, I'm trying to get some help here with your facial expressions. Okay? And I promise you, this message is not coming out near as good as what God gave it to me last night. Because last night, if y'all had been in my house 9:30 last night, we'd have had a time. Amen? And we'd have had a time in the Lord. But I just kept thinking about this seed and what it represented. And right inside this thing is our stupid sins that we continue in, that God wants to forbid us from continuing in. Make sense so far? That's what it is. Okay? Because it's dead and it's worthless and it's meaningless. And I couldn't eat this if I wanted to. But here and yet represents not what it is, but what it could be in Christ. So what I hold in my hand here, the Bible, in fact, oh Lord help me. 1 Corinthians 15. Man. Bradley, you can take over at any time now, all right? 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to look at verse 42. Now, this right here is you. It's all the sinfulness of your life. It's all the pride of your life. It's all the lust of your life. It's everything that you hate about yourself. Okay? Who in here has ever looked in the mirror and saw you for who you really were? You ever done that? You ever looked in the mirror and said, I hate you. I hate you. I hate what you are. I hate how you want to be. Now, I'll just start preaching to myself for a minute. Because I do. I look in the mirror sometimes, and I realize, number one, I'm not getting any better looking. I'm finding that out. In my marriage, I have to realize that what's not going to keep my wife loving me is my good looks. What's going to keep my wife loving me is me loving her back and being honorable in her sight. That's what's going to keep her loving me. Can I hear somebody say amen? But this, the clock is ticking on my youthfulness. I just don't have it anymore, Brad. Yeah, your time. Yeah, tick tock, tick tock. So I look in the mirror. Not only do I look at my appearance, which I desperately try to cover up, which you ought to anyway, but I look at my nature. And there's things about Mike Hogger that I'm telling you, I hate it. I hate the way I am. I am prideful, and I hate it. I'm a sinner, and I hate it. It makes me sick. So I deal with me. And I desperately want to be better than what I used to be. Now I want you to ask yourself that question. Do you really want things to be better than what they used to be? You see, I'm like that. I think it's good to raise your kids in church. And get, I mean, I teach them those. I mean, I think that's good. But some of these people I like because they weren't raised in church, and yet they learned one day that, man, I'm headed to hell. I need to get saved. And the fertile ground of their life was all the dead manure junk that came off of them when God saved them. Somebody say amen. I mean, I like that. I really do. And so you get to a place in your life where you hate yourself. You're like, we're going to get into Romans 7. And in Romans 7, Paul shows you the dual nature of a Christian. What he is on the inside that wants to be right with God, and yet his flesh on the outside is making it nearly impossible for him to do it. Sound familiar? And in Romans 6, there's a cure for that. And it involves this little seed here. So anyway, we hate who we are. We hate our nature. We don't like what we were, what we've become, and we're afraid of what we could be. And I don't like any of those. So God, the quicker you can crucify me and get me out of here, the better off I'm going to be. Can I hear somebody say amen? I mean, seriously, you get to a place in your life where you really are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ just to get you out of here. Not at what everybody's doing to you, but what you're doing to everybody else. God, don't take me out of here and send me to heaven to save me. God, do it to save everybody else from me. Does that sound familiar? Okay? So, here's what he said. Where was that? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. Thank you very much. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is, what is that word there? Sown. It is sown how? In corruption. How corrupt are you? You're so corrupt you stink. Okay? You smell bad. Everything about you is corrupt. Okay? It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And then he goes on and says there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And he talks about all this stuff, but he's really given the analogy of a seed. He's saying that a seed represents not what we are, but what we want to be. Okay? Now, here's the illustration that I'm going to use this morning. Here's what we do. Well, I'm taking a risk here, letting it out of the bag. I've not had good success already with this little seed. But really, there's a good illustration in this, because it just, Paul said, what, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay? So, Gary, I'm going to preach on you for a minute. You're kind of new here, and I haven't picked on you much. But for some reason, Gary decided to sit right here where it's easy for me. Okay? Poor Gary. Should have been watching the other sermons before you moved down here. So, you know, you should have sat over there. You know what I mean? Matt and Jeremy and those guys, they get it easy. Okay? So anyway, I'm going to pick on Gary for a minute. This is Gary, and he's a sinner. In him, there is no good thing. He's corrupt in his flesh and in his nature. Okay? And what he doesn't recognize about himself that's bad, his wife does. Amen? I mean, they help us see that we're not all that good people. Amen? Okay? Now, Gary wants to be better. He wants good things in his life. He wants a good marriage. Amen? Okay? He wants a fruitful life where people say that man's got Jesus in his life. That's what he wants. Okay? He doesn't want to curse anymore. I've never heard him, but he doesn't want to curse anymore, outwardly or inwardly. Because it's there. Okay? He doesn't want to curse anymore. Doesn't want to look at bad things. Don't want to listen to rock and roll music or old country. He doesn't want to do all those things. Doesn't want to smoke cigarettes or drink whiskey. He doesn't want to do those things anymore.
Hates them. Can't stand them. And yet here they are. And just a little bit in his life goes a long, long, long way, doesn't it?
Roy, you tell me all the time. Roy says, if I knew for a fact that I could sit down with a bottle of scotch and drink it and suck on a cigarette and then walk away from it and have another 20-some-odd years of soberness, he said, I'd do it. But you can't, can you? Just one drink. Just one drink. One drink will take that man and throw him over the edge. Now, how many of y'all know that that's true in your life with whatever it is that this is? Just one of them can throw you over. Because when you take this seed and you plant it somewhere, it doesn't come out as one seed. It comes out as a bunch of them. Then we have huge problems in our life. And this is the deceitfulness that the devil will plant inside of our mind, is that we can just do one little thing and it'll be okay. And this is what Paul is warning us about when he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid. Okay, now, I always tell people, we have the worst of the worst in this church. Can I get somebody to say amen? We would not want to stand up and admit who we really are in this house of worship. And it wouldn't be a good idea to do that. Somebody say amen. You're not starting with me, I guarantee you. Okay? But we all want something better in our lives. I'd like to be more spiritual. I'd like to be happier. I'd like to be a better husband, a better daddy, a better servant. I mean, I would just like things better in my life. And this is what I'm holding on to that's keeping me from it. And this is what you're holding on to that's keeping you from it. Let's say, Gary, let's say that, I'll tell you what. I don't think he did, but let's say Gary used to be a marijuana smoker. Boy, really liked smoking marijuana, okay? Moved to California, Gary. There's a ballot in California that'll be voted on in November to legalize marijuana for everybody to smoke in California. Stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. Amen? Okay? And it'll move out. It'll come this way. Let's say Gary's a marijuana smoker. Okay? And Gary likes being saved and he likes coming to church and saying amen, all this stuff. But there's something holding him back from really enjoying what God wanted him to enjoy in Christianity. And that is just a little toke every now and then. Now, I'm just making this up about him, but that's how it is. I don't want to say something and really be true about him. I'm going, okay? But let's say that that's what Gary is. And this little thing right here is holding him back. Now, here's what I know about church people. Is that every one of us has got one of these in our pocket. Every one of us has got a little bit of lying in us, a little bit of cheating in us. A little bit of stealing in us, a little bit of lusting in us, a little bit of dirty mouth in us, a little bit of pride. Every one of us got, and we like carrying them around. Okay? And every now and then, we get into it every now and then, just to keep in practice, just remember what it's like. And this is what is holding us back from really enjoying life the way God meant for us to enjoy it. And we want to hold it. We want to keep it. But right now, it's corrupt. It's no good. It's worthless. And that is the things in our life. Can I hear somebody say amen? So what do we do with it, Bradley? What do we need to do with this thing? Let's go back to Romans 6. And man, I tell you what, I'm going to apologize for even showing up today. Because I'm just really, this is not what I got, but this is all I got this morning. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. By the way, that is not water baptism. That is not baptism in a Baptist baptistry with Baptist water in it. That is the inward baptism of the Holy Spirit inside of you. It is manifest by the act of baptism in a baptistry, but that water baptism does not do these things. It is impossible for that to do that. Now, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, in verse 4, and we already saw in verse 5 that buried means planted. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, we just had the funeral of Pearl Montgomery here last week. And we miss her already. Can I hear say amen? But Pearl's body was running awfully weak. And from the time that her husband died, her life was not really the same. And her body just wore out, and it was corrupt, and it was dying on her. And the best thing to happen to Pearl was what happened to her last week. How can I say that? Because I know what this is. And what we did, we didn't, and I said this at the gravesite, we didn't so much bury her as we planted her. We planted her in hope because she lives yet today. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay? And the body that she had was just in the way. It was in the way. It was holding back the reality of the promises of Jesus Christ is what it was. And I want to tell you something. When you're right with God, it doesn't matter then whether you live or die. It doesn't. It doesn't matter to you whether you live or die. It's just like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The body, this body is what is holding us back. You don't want to sin anymore. This body says, we're going to. You don't want to lie anymore, but I mean, your tongue is unbridled. You can't stop it. So the best thing to do is take this thing and have a funeral over it and say it's done. It's over with. Now, I kind of wrestled even saying this, but I really, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? Because I enjoyed the ministries that we had here for a lot of years, and that is our daycare and our school. I really enjoyed them. I enjoyed coming in for a while. I enjoyed coming in here. I enjoyed working with these kids. We planted a lot of seeds in a lot of kids. We don't know what God's going to do with all these kids that came in here, but we just did it in hope. Okay? But it came to a time when those things were in the way. They were draining our church, not just financially, but spiritually and emotionally. They were just a drain. It was a burden. It was a burden on me. And although I miss those days, what I will tell you is what God is doing now with our church is far greater than what he did back then. And I believe that. I really do. And I see a lot of the results of it. I see it not only here, but I see it everywhere else. But what had to happen was that we had to take some things that we really didn't want to let go of. And we had to let go of them. Now I want you to get this. Because always in life, there are some things that we do want to hang on to. We want to hang on to friendships. We want to hang on to relationships. We want to hang on to this and we want to hang on to that. And we really, really, really don't want to give them up. And we're vain that way. I mean, that's just how we are. I want you to think about some of the stuff that you have in your house right now. That really is kind of, you couldn't get 10 cents out of it at the yard sale. How many of you have something like that in your house? But to give it up is like, you want to put this in the yard sale? No! And what good is it? It wouldn't get 10 cents at the yard sale. In fact, if you had the yard sale and put it out there, you'd get it back. And you know that. Okay? That's the stuff that we're wanting to hang on to in our life. That's the sin, that's the disobedience, the vanity of this life. That's everything that we're trying to hold on to those things as if they're going to give us some meaning or something like that or help us. And the truth of it is, they're worthless. They're not. You know what the best thing you need to do? Get rid of it. Bury it. Plant it somewhere. Because what happens is, God takes those things and He makes, let's finish the verses here, and then I'm going to quit what I call preaching today. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And I don't care what it is. If you want something better in life, be ready to start digging you a hole somewhere. Be ready. Be ready to start planting some things that you don't want to give up with. I'm going to make this illustration and then we're going to stand, we're going to get out. I want to let you out of this place. Moses had a rod in his hand. And when they drove him out of Egypt, that's all he had. He left the wealth and the glory of Egypt. They banished him and all he had was a rod. That's all he had. And there Moses uses that rod as a shepherd there with Miriam, his wife, that's his job until God's ready to call him. And he's standing there in front of the burning bush. And God said, Moses, you're going to go and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And then Moses begins to, listen to this now, he begins to give his arguments as to why he can't do it. And that's me. Okay? Why I can't do it. And then God says, I'm going to prove something here. Moses, what is that in thine hand? He said, it's a rod. And God said, cast it to the ground. And when Moses finally obeyed, he cast it to the ground. And it became a serpent. Why did it become a serpent? Because that rod is a picture of Jesus Christ, who when He first comes, He comes in the form of the curse that is by the law. And when He reaches down again to pick it up, it becomes the rod again. But now something is different. Now this is not the rod of Moses anymore. It is the rod of God. And then Moses took that rod, and he began to show with that rod the power of God in his hand. It turned the water into blood. The rod is what parted the Red Sea and made the way possible for those in Israel who were in bondage to make it over to the Promised Land. And I'm here to tell you that all these sacred things that we have in our life that we never want to give up, and all the little sins that we say that we're saved, and yes, you are saved, but the truth of it is there are all these little things, these vanities that we never want to give up. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll just let them go and dig you a hole and bury them, I promise you God will give you something far better than you ever thought possible. Let's stand to our feet. Okay? This is probably the roughest I've ever had preaching a message in my life. Okay? I want us to pray. I want us to ask God. God, Mike was right. That was the worst message I've ever heard in my life. But God, Your word is Your word. And deliver unto me, Lord, Your word, that I may be blessed. And God, if there's something in my life that I need to give up, that needs to be buried, that I'm hanging on to, God, help me to let it go. And You do great things with it. Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God, for Your grace and Your help and Your mercy and Your blessing. And Father, Lord, I trust You. I trust You, Lord, that more than I trust myself. And I'm asking, dear God, Lord, that You would do, Father, Lord, what I could not do today. Father, Lord, that You would help Your people. And Lord, that you would give them a blessing, that you would be a blessing, and that your word, Lord, would accomplish far more than what I was ever able to accomplish. Lord, I love these people. And Father, Lord, I thank you, dear God, that they love me and they long suffer. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would grant them your grace far and above, Father, Lord, what we all deserve. And give us of your peace. Bless, Father, the preaching of your word. And Father, dismiss us now in your care and in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.